when did you first decide that you wanted to do this mammoth feat?
Well, it's been quite a long journey. Actually, I say that it's about 18 years ago I kind of started my journey of like doing charity work for children. I'm originally from India, so I went out to India to come visit family, and I was out there and I was in a car with my mum and dad, and I just remember driving through the busy streets of Delhi and this little girl like knocking on the window with her sibling on her arm, and she was just completely dishevelled and unkempt, and I was just heartbroken because I was like, I'm exactly the same age as her, we're both Indian, and it kind of just like broke me, and I was like, from that point on I wanted make sure that I can do something, even if at that age I was only 7, I wanted to do something that I could do, give back. So I came back and I gave up chocolate, sweets and fizzy drinks for a year, and I just wanted to save the money that I was spending on those things. And then I ended up having people sponsor me, and I ended up raising £1,000, which I was so happy about. And that went, so I bought like blankets for children in the blind home locally in India. And then it just kind of got bigger, and recently did the London Marathon for UNICEF. And then I decided I wanted to take on something even bigger. And not a lot of Indian heritage swim. So I thought, I'm a swimmer. So I thought, actually, I want to go out and break those stereotypes of both women in sport and Asian women in like kind of the swimming, the amount of people that are like, I don't swim since I've done this. So I thought I wanted to take on an even bigger challenge. And I wanted to take something on that I could be like, I'm swimming the English Channel and tell them about my journey, and then wanting to sponsor. Because I think it's at this time in the world, it's quite hard to get people to sponsor you doing people doing a lot of events. So I wanted something that was so big and so life-threatening. So that's why I decided to kind of swim the English Channel.
And how did you go about training for something like this?
Well, the training started about 18 months ago. So initially it was just kind of pool swimming. I was just out swimming lengths and lengths in the pool with my trainer. And then it kind of slowly got bigger. So then I did training camps out in Croatia to do open water. And then I started having to work with a nutritionist because it's so detrimental to make sure that you keep warm, because the pneumonia is very detrimental. So
what would you say the biggest perils were when you got into the water and you started your swim? What are the things that worried you most, and what were the biggest obstacles?
So I think I had an incredible trainer. So when I actually got into the swim, I just had to keep calm and focused. So that's not when I had the biggest like challenge. The biggest challenge was actually 3 months before that. I went out to Croatia to do a training camp, and I got in and I had to qualify. So you have to do a 6-hour qualifier to do the swim, because it's a 15-hour swim. So that's when you do your qualifier for 6 hours. So the day before I went out and did a trial session, it was horrendous. The waves were so strong. I felt like I was drowning. I was so scared. I could see like creatures and like fish and things. And I just got out after an hour and a half and I had a complete and utter breakdown. I was like, how am I going to swim 6 hours tomorrow in a couple of months, swim the English Channel? I broke down and I don't know how, but I just kind of sat down and I just was like, I know I'm physically fit enough. I've done this. So I've been training for the last year. So I had to get back in and just focus and just like concentrate and like make sure I visualized what I was doing and why I was doing it. That's the main thing.
Having never run a marathon, I've heard lots of people talk about hitting a wall. I'm guessing that's the equivalent of the swimming wall.
Absolutely, that's exactly it. And I think I was very fortunate to have really hit the biggest wall in training a couple of months before. But saying that, it wasn't an easy road, the actual swim itself. For the first 3 hours, I was being sick, and because I was so seasick, I was just swimming, and every 30 minutes you kind of get a shot of liquid to kind of keep you hydrating, keep you going, because you can't eat and stop over those 14 and a half hours. I did it in 14 hours 44 minutes. So you can't stop. So I was taking those shots, but I was barely keeping them down because I was retching up, and that was such a hard time for me.
How are you swimming while you're being sick, eating, drinking, worrying about the jellyfish, all the other creatures?
I think for me, there were two things that were just going through my mind. Firstly, was what I was doing it for the charity. I actually went out to India and visited the British Asia Trust charity out there, where I'm helping children whose mothers have been forced into sex slave industry, and they were in those, they're actually in the brothels, and they live in the brothels with those mothers. And I remembered those children, I remembered, look at the life that they had. So those are things that I had to remember, and the people that supported me, I've raised £155,000 for charity. So I had to remember all of those sponsors and the people that believed in me. So when you kind of want to stop, actually at one point I had to be stung, so there was a jellyfish wrapped around my arm and actually over my eye, and I had to rip it off because it was stinging me so badly. And at those points, you've just got to remember the people that believe in you and the people and why you're doing it. So that's the reason why I kept going.
And what have the charities made of your feet?
They have, I think they've both have been incredibly impressed of what I've done. The British Asian Trust, I've been supporting me from the day one and kind of all through my training, and they were completely honoured because they've never seen, obviously, an Asian. So the average age of a swimmer is 36 and I'm 26, and only 30% of them are women. So I'm one of the first ever British Asian women to ever take on this challenge. So
why is that?
I think there's a number of factors. Firstly, not a lot of Asians swim. It's not really something that's, it tends to be more like cricket and sport like that. And it's also, I think it's women getting out there and swimming the English Channel isn't like running the marathon when you can kind of go out and just run. Having done it, you run and you can just kind of balance it with your work life. Swimming the English Channel is actually a lifestyle. So I had to give up alcohol, I had to have a nutritional meeting every week, I had to have physiotherapy, I had to move into London to be closer to my trainer. So the last 6 months, all I've done is swim the English Channel, I haven't done anything else.
But swimming's a life skill, isn't it? It's important that everyone learns to swim.
Absolutely, and I think that's, everyone says, Leah, what's next for you? And I think that's exactly it. I want to go out there, I want to go spread that message, firstly to motivate people to kind of do whatever they like want. So I realized that it's all about the mind. I had physically trained for 18 months, but I hit my wall. And I actually, if you have that I can mindset of I can do anything, you can achieve whatever you like in life. So I think that's what I want to go out now and pass on the message to the people.
So just remind the listeners of how much you've raised and how they can find out more about the challenge.
So I've raised £155,000 for charity, both for the for cancer research and the British Asian Trust. And to find out a little bit more about my challenge, you can follow me on Twitter. All my stories and my gory details and my stings are all up there at Leah, L-E-A-H, underscore Chowdhury, C-H-O-W-D-H-R-Y.
Lovely, thank you so much.
Thank you
and
so
well
much.
Done.
Thank you.